Good morning, church family. Y'all ready to praise this morning? Would you stand and join us?
I praise in the valley. I praise on the mountain. I praise when I'm sure. I praise when I'm down. Surrounded, 'cause praise is the waters my enemies drown. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. Sound. My praise is the shout that brings Jericho down. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul.
Let them hear you.
I praise 'cause you're sovereign. Praise 'cause you reign. Praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. I praise 'cause you're faithful. Praise 'cause you're true. Praise 'cause there's no you're true. Praise cause there's nobody greater than you. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. We're gonna praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
For coming this morning, you can have 1.5 minutes to sit down. Somebody start a timer. I'm so glad that you have all chosen to worship with us this morning. We certainly do have a lot of reasons to praise the Lord, one of them being that it's not going to be 90 degrees today, huh? Right? So thank you, Lord, for a little cool off. Hopefully on your way in, you had a chance to grab the sermon notes that are at the entrances. If not, you're welcome to find those in the app. The app is great. If you haven't downloaded the app yet, it's full of information. I can't tell you the number of times we might have something going on and I just need to double check a time or check the calendar. It's a wonderful tool. So if you don't have it yet, make sure you download that. It's also a great place to connect. You can fill out the online Connect card, the online form there. Share your prayer requests with us. The staff here is really diligent and intentional about praying over the needs of our family. And so we would love to help pray over those burdens with you and for you. And if you are new here, or even if you've been with us a few weeks and you're ready to connect a little bit further, there's a Connect card in the pew in front of you that you can fill out and take to the Welcome Center right out here. Introduce yourself. We'd love to get to know you better. And speaking of getting to know each other better, why don't you stand up again? Was that 1.5 minutes? Anybody? And say hello to the people around you.
Hear my praise. Merciful and mighty. You guys can go ahead and take a seat. Very excited to be up here this morning. My name is Dan. I am the middle school pastor here at Westgate Chapel. And who doesn't get mad at me? There you go. I don't want to knock it over, you know? You're good. And so, super excited this morning. I get to work with the middle school students here at Westgate Chapel, middle school pastor. And I love my job. I love what I get to do. I love hanging out with students. They're some of the coolest people you'll ever meet. But this morning, I'm up here to talk about serve, okay? And serve is this really cool thing. I got excited this morning at the first service, and I really didn't even describe what serve was. I just started like talking about how it was great for me when I was growing up. And so serve is, we're having Westgate students and students from another church come in here, and we go out and we serve the community of Toledo, okay? And so Tuesday morning, afternoon, Wednesday morning, afternoon, we go out and we do different projects in the community, helping out people from our church, helping out our partners like Water for Ishmael, that neighborhood church. And so we're going out, we're just trying to bless the community of Toledo and ultimately, right, show them who Jesus is. And for me, like, I did serve when I was in middle school, when I went to Northmar, back in Warren, Ohio. This is where it all started. Pastor Paul, my youth pastor, we served the Warren community. And I really do believe, like, I'm 31 now, so it's been a little ways from middle school. But, like, I can still vividly remember moments from those times that, like, really changed my life, that really cultivated this heart of serving in me that I don't think I would serve the way I do now if it wasn't for middle school serve in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. Like, really had impactful moments of my life, man. Like, a lot of stuff was like, you know, you're weeding, you're weed whacking, you're doing some hard work, you're hot, you're sweaty, you're like, man, this is not fun, but I'm doing it for Jesus. I was actually good at that stuff. I loved it. But the hard stuff was like going out and, like, we went in downtown Warren and, like, Pastor Paul was like, go pray for people. And I was like, I don't think I'm going to do that. Like, that really stretched me. So not only like physically serving, but spiritually serving God, like, it changed my life as a middle school student. And so our students get to do that for the first time here in Toledo, Ohio. We're super pumped about it. Yeah. We did it. So the last few years, we've done it back in Warren, Ohio. So Warren, Ohio, Northmar people, they're coming to us. So they're bringing about 32 students. We got about 48 signed up. So we have 80 students coming in here to bless Toledo. And so if you're one of those students going to serve, come up on stage. Come up on stage if you're going to serve. Yeah, give it up for them. Woo! There we go. And if you're a leader, if you're a leader or helping out with Serve at All, you can come up too. If you're a high schooler, if you're one of the few that are helping out, if you're a leader, you can do that too. Yeah, you got some stuff for it. We got a big stage. No hitting on stage either. Let's go. Move up. And move this way. This way, this way, this way. This way. Yeah, if you're a high schooler, come on up. I'm going to pray for you too. And so we got a big group of people, like over 100 people that are participating in Serve. So we're super excited about it. And before I pray over them, I just want to ask you guys to pray for us this upcoming week. I really do believe prayer is powerful and that God hears our prayers. And so as we're out this week on Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday we're going to Kalahari, but you can still pray for us. That's a wild day. But Tuesday and Thursday, we're out serving and blessing the community. And so I would love for you just to pray for unity for all of our teams. We have Westgate students and Northmar students can join together in groups. And so that, like, I mean, unity for everyone, because sometimes when you're hot, you're in the sun, you're doing manual labor, man, people get a little edgy. And so just pray for unity for all of them, for grace and mercy and compassion for the leaders as they have to corral the students and love them well and disciple them well. Like, every moment's a discipling moment at Serve. And so just be praying for the leaders to give them wisdom in those moments that, like, they can see something and they can you know, reach into it. And so I would love for you to join us this week in praying for us. Like, that's going to make, I believe that's going to make a huge impact on how this week goes, is God's people praying for our students and for him to work and move. And now I'm going to pray for you guys. And if you feel comfortable, you can go ahead and put your hand out. Just like solidify, man, showing these students that you are here, you are for them, and that you're going to be praying for them this week. And so I'm going to pray for you guys. Dear Heavenly Father, you are awesome. You are incredible. We do not deserve your love, but we are thankful for it. And God, I am just thankful for, I think about this opportunity to serve. Like, God, what a privilege and honor it is to serve you, God. And this week, we're supposed to serve you every day, but God, for a few days here, we're gonna really, really serve you as much as we can. And I pray as we're doing that, God, may you be magnified. Like, that's the reason we do this. So you are magnified. So that people see who you are. That they see you through these students. Lord, may we not magnify ourselves. May we not say, oh, what a good job we've done. Look how good we are. But may we say, man, God, you are good. And we did this for you. May you get all the honor and all the glory. And God, that's our prayer, is that you are lifted high these 2 days. That this, the city of Toledo, the community of Toledo, man, they will see Jesus Christ. And God, I pray for boldness for the students as well. Boldness and courage, because they're going to be doing some things that are uncomfortable. And God, I pray for their eyes. Holy Spirit, show them moments to pray for people, to speak about you to other people who might not know you. Those moments are going to happen. And so, Jesus, I pray for boldness and courage when they see it to step out in faith. And Jesus, I pray for the leaders the same thing, but also just for energy, for endurance, for stamina, for patience, for grace, and for mercy as they lead, love, and disciple these students this week. They are the main disciple these next, those 2 days. So give them wisdom, give them discernment, help them love really well. And Jesus, again, may you be honored and glorified these 2 days as we serve Toledo, Ohio. Praise in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Would you thank Dan and this team for coming up this morning? Such an awesome blessing to see all these students, and excited to see how God is going to use each one of them. And we're going to come right now to our time of taking up our offering together. And I want to say thank you again for your faithfulness in giving. Do you realize that when you give faithfully to Westgate, you support ministries just like this, as these students are going out and are going to be sharing Christ through words and actions this week? Your gifts enable this church to have this ministry in the community. And so I want to take just a moment to pray before we take our offering and give this time to the Lord. God, thank you again so much for this morning and the opportunity that we have to worship you. Lord, we acknowledge that every good gift we have comes from you. And so, Lord, as we give back of our tithe and our offering today, God, I pray, one, that you would continue to use it to multiply it so that more people will know your son Jesus, especially this coming week. Lord, use these young people. Lord, they have an incredible testimony to share. And so, Holy Spirit, be alive in them and use them powerfully. And Lord, we pray not only that you would multiply our gifts this morning, but God, we ask as well that as we give, that we would give with cheerful hearts as an act of worship. But Lord, we pray that you would continue to develop our hearts for your kingdom and to have a kingdom mindset, God. We give you thanks and we love you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you would, if you're on the center aisles, you can grab the offering buckets and begin to pass those to the sides. They're out on the corners up in the balcony, and we'll continue in a spirit of worship as we take our offering together. Well, this morning is a very special morning for us as a church. As you know, for the last couple of weeks, we've been letting you know that we are going to have some special guests with us here. And as I introduce them to you, I think most importantly, especially if you are new to Westgate, you should know that we are part of a denomination that is called the Christian and Missionary Alliance. Just in a nutshell, the CNMA is a worldwide denomination that since its very beginning has had a passion for taking the gospel to the edges of the earth. And what I love about this denomination as well is that they are passionate about making sure that the gospel goes to areas in this world that are the least reached. And Westgate has always had within its own DNA just a passion for missions. As we did the Unfinished Initiative a couple years ago, and I dug into the history of our church, really from the very beginning, over 100 years ago, Westgate was known for sending out workers into the field, people going out into the mission field, sometimes pastors serving very short stints even in this church because they were going out to start new works. And when I came to Westgate itself, I learned myself just the passion that is here of sending missionaries out into the field. And so there is this rich history that we have had. And this morning we're blessed to have with us two that were sent out from Westgate 24 years ago, Steve and Christy Volstad. Welcome them with me, if you would, today.
Thank you.
And as I mentioned, Steve and Christy were sent about 24 years ago from this church and have been serving the Lord in various different countries around the world. And they are going to be having a transition in ministry that takes place. And we're going to talk about that together just a little bit this morning. But we are excited to have them here with us. And so I would begin just as an introduction, knowing that there are people here that don't know you guys. Would you maybe share with us just a little bit of your own story and testimony of God's call on your life to missions? 24 years is a long, long time. And I would just love to hear, and I know our church would love to hear, how is it that that journey began with the Lord?
For each of us, it's a little bit different. For me, I didn't begin growing up in a Christian and Missionary Alliance church. We were attending in a different denomination, but I was growing up learning Sunday school stories, and I was in church every Sunday. And when I was about 8, an Alliance church was being built in our neighborhood, in our area near our neighborhood, and my parents went there to just check it out. And I'll tell you what, it was really an event that happened in my life that changed the whole trajectory of where I began to go, because it was in that church that I clearly began to understand how all those Bible stories were leading to a gospel message that pertained to my life, and I came to understand that I had a need for Jesus as my Savior. So I was about 8 in that first year attending that Alliance church, and I gave my life to Christ. And in good Alliance fashion, in that next year, I attended my first missions conference at that church, and I remember clearly a missionary being there, and at the end of his message, he geared a calling towards young people, and he said, "If you are here today and you are a young person and you have Jesus in your heart, you know the Lord, would you be willing to say to God today, 'I'll go wherever, Lord, you want to send me,' maybe to a people who have never heard of the name of Jesus, would you be willing to say yes to God and go wherever he calls you?" And my heart started pounding. I was a new believer. I was a young girl, but I also was a new believer. And I understand now that that was the Holy Spirit stirring in my heart. And my heart was pounding, and I just knew that he was talking to me. I just knew it because I could sense that God was telling me, "That's you. I'm talking to you." And so I came forward, and I knelt, and some people in the church came around me and prayed over me. And they prayed that the Lord would use me and call me into missions, and that church would disciple me and send me out. And I remember we stood up from that place, and there was an older woman in the church, and she patted me on the head and said, "Isn't that cute? She thinks she wants to be a missionary." And I remember thinking, like, hey, I know what I'm talking about here. The Lord's really stirring in my heart. And it really was a calling that started way back then when I was 9 years old.
That's awesome.
Well, I'm prenatal Alliance, literally. My family's been in the Alliance for at least 114 years. I'm not sure when they started. And I'm a third-generation Alliance missionary going back 96 years. So, but it took quite a while for me to say yes. I ended up growing up in the States. I was born in Chile, but grew up in the States. We had to come back for health reasons for my mom, and I would go forward at every missions conference every year. What I later heard is probably called the MK guilt trip, the missionary kid guilt trip. This is what my family does, so this is what people expect me to do. And I look back and I think, yeah, that's what I thought, really. But I didn't know what that looked like. And so it took me until I was 22 years old, after 2.5 years at college, at Tocoa Falls College, and getting on academic probation every spring from the fall semester, literally 2.5 years, every other semester. I'd play on the soccer team in the fall, so I wouldn't study. I'd be on academic probation in the spring, but I'd have to work to get off of probation in the spring so I could play again in the fall. And literally 2.5 years went through that and got through to Christmas break in my junior year and realized I have no idea what God's calling me to do. I've run out of money. My grades are horrible. I need to take a break and I need to seek God for the first time in my life. And so for the next year and a half, I sought God like I never had before, in prayer and scripture reading and talking to older, more mature, more experienced believers. And probably six, 9 months later, people started to come up every once in a while and say, "Steve, you're changing." And I was like, "What do you mean?" They said, "You're growing. You're like maturing. You're not the same person that you used to be a year ago." And I hadn't even realized that God was working in me. I didn't notice it, but he was changing my heart. And that year and a half culminated in me going on a soccer missions trip to Eastern Europe. So we'd play soccer in Czechoslovakia and Hungary, and then we went to the World Cup in Italy in 1990. Not to play, but to watch some games. And I knew God is going to do something on this trip that's going to be a culmination of this whole year and a half of seeking him. And I won't go into the whole story now just because of time. But in that 3-week trip, it became so obvious. God is calling me overseas to the mission field and back to Eastern Europe, which I wasn't really interested in Eastern Europe, although I'd always had an interest in Russia, and back to Eastern Europe. And so I was able to go back and immediately reapply and start studying again at Tocoa, declared my major in missions. My grades went up because I started studying some of the classes I was taking for the second or third time, literally. But I knew I'm going to need this stuff now in the future. Hmm. And so then it was 10 years later, eventually, that we went overseas. But that's where that's where Russia came into play as well through the following years as the Soviet Union fell a couple years later, and then the alliance started sending people to Russia.
You connect the dots? So you said yes to your call and to Jesus and to each other at some point in there. Yeah. And then we explain how you got to Westgate.
Yeah. So we were married in 1993 after we finished at Tocoa Falls College. We went for a year to seminary. And while there, we entered ministry in a church in North Carolina. And then Steve was finishing his master's degree at Columbia International University. So we moved down to Columbia for a time. And he was
South Carolina, Columbia.
And our sons were born respectively in Raleigh, North Carolina, and Columbia, South Carolina. So we had two of our kids at that time. And as Steve was nearing the end of his time in seminary, we knew we needed to further our ministry preparation for the mission field, but we didn't know where that was going to be. And we asked the Lord, "Please show us something by the time he graduates from seminary so we know where we're going from here." And literally, he had his graduation. Was it the day of or the day
before?
The day before his graduation, we got a phone call from Jim Armstrong, who was the pastor at that time of Westgate Chapel. And he was calling to ask us if we would be interested in meeting with them to pursue this opportunity to be missionary candidates at Westgate Chapel. They flew from Toledo down to Charlotte, North Carolina, and we drove up to Charlotte, and we met with them, and the rest is history. That was 1998. We ended up coming here, and we served from 1998 to 2000, and this was a real place of healing for us in ministry. We arrived here a little bit hurt and broken in ministry when we came. We had the two kids, and then our daughter was born here, and then in 2000, we were commissioned out of this church to the mission field. We went to our general council of the CNMA that year, and we were commissioned from there. And that's how it all began. And then we served one term, and when we came back for our first home assignment year, we lived back here in Toledo in the year 2004 and 5, that home assignment year, which even more solidified our just feeling a part of this place, it being our family.
That's so awesome. Yeah, I remember you saying you had to look up in an atlas. You had never heard of Toledo. You'd heard of Toledo, Ohio, but you didn't know Toledo, Ohio. You had to figure out what was going on here. And
we used to watch MASH, so we knew about Toledo. That was the extent of it.
That's all we knew. We did. We got out a map, and we looked at it. We're both from the north, so we kind of knew. And then I was like, oh, they're also on Lake Erie. I grew up on Lake Erie. I'm from Erie, Pennsylvania, so it can't be that much different.
And you're still here. Thanks for coming back. So you got sent that first time. We can see a picture of your family getting sent in the year 2000. Mm-hmm. That's how they went. And then there's a couple years later with the bigger kids. So over these years, you'll go out for a term. You went to Russia for, I think, 4 years, and then a year home, and then four to five years, a year home. That's kind of the rhythm, give or take a year with the CMA. And so you guys learned a new language. You were church planters. You lived in different cities. You raised these children. You worked with church partners, including Westgate, but you have other church partners as well as part of this whole picture of the life of an international worker. After you guys were church planting and doing things specifically in Russia, they started having you develop teams and coaching other missionaries. Most recently, you guys have been overseeing these seven teams in Mongolia and other countries. We can't say their name. We say code names to explain. Mm-hmm. So you guys have just seen all sorts of kinds of missions and lots from the field with your own family and seeing others. And I just would love to hear your greatest, as you reflect back. Obviously, there's so many things we could ask you about, but the rewards that rise to the surface, as well as some of the greatest challenges that we can hear from, learn from.
I'll share about rewards. She'll share about challenges. The first thing that pops into my mind when I think about rewards is the whole reason why we went, and that's to see lives changed for Christ. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to see lives changed in Russia and Ukraine and Germany of people who decided to follow Jesus. And we just saw God start to transform their lives. And we saw churches planted and grown. If you've been here a long time, you remember 15 years ago how we used to talk about Open Door Church. And that probably is the most rewarding experience. So even though it was that long ago, out of our years on the mission field, that for me was the most rewarding experience, the most difficult, the most challenging actually, but the most rewarding, as we saw a church in downtown Moscow start from zero and grow up to, in a year and a half or whatever, up to 100, more than 100 people. Lots of non-Christians attending, people coming to Christ, people being discipled. Average age of the church was 20 years old. It's mainly all first-generation believers. And then we got to lead the church. I was lead pastor of the church for a couple years. And we actually got a daughter-in-law out of that church. I didn't think about that in the first service, but the guy that I pastored with, another Russian, his daughter is now our daughter-in-law, married our second son, William. And they have three boys. And so that was very rewarding. The reason why we went, see lives changed, see churches planted.
Mm. When we think about the challenges, of course, there are many, especially serving in a hard place of the world with a hard language and a difficult culture to fully understand. But for me, and maybe this is from the heart of a wife and a mom, one of the hardest things was raising my kids on the other side of the globe, far away from our network of support, of family and friends. And our time here at Westgate, actually, we had three preschoolers, and we were really involved here in the ministries of Westgate, and we had friends who were in the same stage of life with their young kids, and then when we were commissioned off, we left all of that behind, and that was a big gap for me, left a big hole, because I wanted to do life with other people, you know, friends and family, and they were going through the same thing and had kids of the same ages. And it was always a challenge, too, to keep the kids connected to their grandparents and aunts and uncles. You can imagine 24 years ago when we went, there wasn't all of the technology that we have now, there wasn't even Skype back then. There was the internet, but it wasn't. I remember dialpad.com was one of these first kind of things where you could call over, you know, like landline. And but it was hard. It was a challenge. And there were dark days, difficult days of really feeling that distance. And so when I reflect back over maybe one of the deepest challenges, it was that. There were hard days of being separated far, far from family and friends.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you can see they showed a picture of your family now. So, and there's been even another grandchild added since then.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, yeah, there's just many layers to the family component in missions.
Right. Yeah. You know, as we shared in the first service, I also grew up in the Alliance, not quite prenatal, but was born into an Alliance church. And growing up in an Alliance church, I remember year after year, we would have our missions conference where international workers would come through and share stories of what God was doing. And it helped to build my own context of missions. But even when I came to Westgate 14 years ago, it was so much expanded because I had never been a part of a church or a CNMA church that had been so invested in sending missionaries, but then also continuing to partner with them. And for me, that's something that I think has been so profound, is that it's not just our sending that we do, like, hey, see you guys, have a good time, and we'll send you with some resources, but what it really means to be a partner and to develop partnership and to be a part of the work, even though we're back here. And so would you maybe share with us just a little bit of what you would want us to know as a church and especially as individuals about participating in missions as a sending and partnering church?
Mm-hmm. Sure. I think first we want to let you know that you are not the average church. I mean that in a good way.
Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah. Your church, you guys, your leadership is so intentional about preparing people, discipling people, and sending people out, and then keeping in relationship with those people when they are sent out. I have said probably hundreds of times over the years, literally, to people on the mission field or in churches in the States, I don't know what we would have done without Westgate Chapel. Without the support of this church in prayer, in finances, in inviting us back each time we're in the States, in sending teams. I think we've had 3 teams come over the years, all the way back from 5 or 6 weeks after we went to Russia. And there was a need on the field. A church had backed out of a missions trip, and Crick called Westgate and said, we need help. And you guys sent a team of 4 people for a VBS we were putting on, all the way up until Julianne and Stacy come in 2021.
Yeah,
2021. So, you guys are not the average church. We would invite you to continue to lean into that, continue to do what you're doing, for more of you to be involved. I think missions, an understanding and involvement in missions is part of our discipleship and growing into, you know, Jesus talks about making disciples, but he also talks in the same sentences about going to the ends of the earth. It's all intertwined. And so we would greatly invite you and challenge you and ask you, continue to do what you're doing. If you're not involved in that, I would say get involved. Start receiving prayer letters from your workers and start praying for them. Put their prayer card on your fridge. Try to have a meal with them when they come. If there's a trip that's going to one of their countries, then strongly consider going. It's not that unsafe. I know some people are just scared of going to other countries, but you know what? If they're over there, you'll probably be okay too. So just keep doing what you're doing, and we're so thankful for everything that you've done through these years for us and for the others that you've sent out.
That's right. And we love this balance that Westgate Chapel does of having a focus on short-term missions trips and getting people involved to be able to go on short-term trips, and then bringing people in and building them up who are called to career missions, and then sending them out from here. And understanding also that the difference of their short-term missions trips, and then there are people that you're sending that are career workers who, when they depart, they're going to be going and leaving you for the long haul. And when 5 years passes or 10 years go by, or maybe if they last 20 years or more, that you're intentional about staying in their lives. And that's tricky because you can imagine, just think how much your church has can change and has changed in 5 years' time or 10 years' time. Or for us looking in at Westgate Chapel and seeing how you've changed in 24 years, even lead pastors and staff and all of those people. And so it's really, really important to keep that in mind, that our career workers who are on the field, when we're there sending church, we need to make sure that we keep cultivating that relationship when 5, 10, 20 years goes by. And you guys have done that so well. I was even just thinking, Rob, when you were talking about this partnership, it just popped in my mind. I remember as we were getting ready to go, Westgate Chapel circulated a list, a tangible list of item by item things we needed to take. And this church bought items and brought them to us in totes, and we packed them in our bags, and you sent us.
We sent them on a ship.
On a ship.
4 years worth.
Yeah, and then through the years, people who gave like one particular item, they remembered that. Oh, they need these things. And then they kept giving those items. That was just a really tangible way to keep up that relationship with us. And it made us feel blessed, but it also made us feel connected. And so just remembering that about your career workers, it's easy to forget about them as time goes by, but it's such a blessing when we stay in touch. Not just you bless us, but there's a reciprocity in that relationship too, because then when we come back, we see your faces and we're like, thank you so much. I got that, you know, item that you sent, and it meant so much to us. And it really is a reciprocal, mutual, edifying relationship that's so, so beautiful.
Yeah, there's mutual joy. It's been a joy. So as we said, you guys go out on these terms, and you guys had the most recent term was a little unexpected. You ended up in starting in one country and then got relocated, and then we're here this last year on home assignment, really asking God what's next. You guys came to our Missions Emphasis Week in October. Thanks again for sharing what God's doing around the world, and you invited us to join you about praying about your guys' next steps, because you're always asking that, and you invited us to join you. And so will you share from us from October, from this last year, where the Lord has been leading you guys as you kind of culminate your home assignment year, and then where are you going?
Yeah. So every time we do come home on home assignment, we did intentionally seek the Lord to, we asked them very specific things. Please rekindle our call to the mission field. We really wanted to feel that fresh calling placed on our lives. And then we always asked them, what's next? Where would you like us to go? Because each term, actually, our ministries changed a little bit. Sometimes it was big changes, like we went to a totally new country. And sometimes we just shifted in ministries a little bit. And this time on home assignment was no different. We came back and we began asking the Lord those same things. And we did notice, though, over this last term, like you alluded to, Julianne, that there were things that happened this last term that were so different. And a lot of you know those details about having to leave one place very quickly because of a world event and having to go somewhere else. And we could really begin sensing that the Lord was stirring in our hearts. Something new was coming. Something unexpected was emerging. And we love the fact that every home assignment, when we have placed ourselves in that posture before the Lord, asking him to show us and rekindle a calling, he's always met us in that place, and he's always shown us. The timing isn't always what we'd like it to be, because we'd really like to know right away. And sometimes he puts us in that waiting room. And this year has been one of those places where we've been seeking him. We felt like he was kind of quiet for a while. But just like in the Bible, God speaks, and he still speaks today, and he has clearly spoken to us, revealing piece by piece, little by little, what the next steps are. And we're delighted that even as we sit here with you today, even in the notes that we took in talking to you for this interview we had in here, we really have no idea where we're headed. Like, we have the
printed
it's
on
now
Thursday.
And this week, just in the last couple of days, the Lord has begun to open up that new plan and vision for ministry, and we're so excited to be able to tell you about it.
So we believe that when we as followers of Jesus make big decisions in our lives, that Jesus should have a place in it, yeah? Of where we go, what we're doing. Are we serving him, or are we just out on our own, doing our own thing? And so that's why we pray regularly about these things. We want to be exactly where he wants us and doing the things he wants us to be doing. And so we've spent this last year praying. Sometimes we were on the same page as each other, and sometimes we were on different pages. And so we knew that wasn't God speaking, or at least one of us wasn't hearing. and so we just did a lot of praying, and as Crick said, felt a lot of silence. And in December, I was just praying one time, and I just kind of sensed from the Lord, there's no wrong decision. And I thought, crud, I don't like that answer. If you go back overseas or if you stay in the States, I know your hearts and I know you're going to be serving me wherever you are. And that's how we took it. We still didn't like that because we didn't want to have the pressure of making this decision. We wanted it to be God. We've been doing this for 24 years, but we've been thinking maybe he's leading us back to the States. We really need to know. And really felt like we needed to know that one way or the other. So we just kept praying, okay, Lord, show us. Show us clearer than that and make sure we're on the same page. And it was only about a month and a half later or so in January, I was out on missions tour in Wyoming for a few weeks. And I was walking through Evanston, Wyoming, and I was praying these things as we were doing daily. And I'm just praying, and I still even have a hard time explaining it in words. But in my prayer, I had a strong sense for the first time in 34 years, the first time since that missions trip to Eastern Europe in 1990, that God had released me from that call to overseas ministry. Mm. And it was palpable, like I felt it. And the reason I could feel it is because I hadn't felt that call in 34 years. And I kind of panicked a bit. And I just kept praying. I was like, okay, Lord, I don't know. Is this just emotion? Is this me putting words in your mouth? Is this really from you? I'm not going to say anything to anybody for quite a while because I just need to see, is this really from you? And in the next weeks, I hadn't told anybody, not even Crick. I just was praying. And I saw that my passion for missions was not gone at all, and it's still not today. But as I came home from that tour and told it to Crick, she also just sensed, okay, well, this seems to be from the Lord because I don't make decisions that are so drastic that we don't really test and approve that it's from God. And so we prayed about it still for another couple months before we made any final decision. We came at a point at the end of March where we realized, okay, we sense this is from God. Our thoughts haven't changed. Our passion for missions is still there, but we sense he is leading us to stay in the States and be involved in ministry, whatever that looks like. And we had no idea. And so we made that decision to stay in the States. We told our bosses about it near the beginning of April, and then the last couple months have been job hunting, whatever that looks like. We just assumed I'm going to be in a church somewhere, and Crick's going to be counseling somewhere, and we don't know where that is. We would love it to be closer to our kids than we are now because we're in Pennsylvania, and they're all in Georgia and North Carolina, but we also knew we don't know what God has for us and where that's going to be.
Part of that release, too, was that long history and heritage in your family and feeling that being lifted off of you. I love that part when you shared that with me, when you told me.
And I shared it in the first service, but I forgot it just now.
Yeah, almost this, you know, having almost a 100-year history of carrying that baton and then having that be almost like a mantle of responsibility. That was part of the lifting, the release, not a release from the love and passion for ministry, but doing it, making sure that we were walking in step with the Holy Spirit for the right reasons. And that part of it was a beautiful piece that the Lord was showing you.
Yeah. So we're excited to say that just in the last couple weeks, as we've been praying to the Lord in the last few weeks for him to open and close doors, just to make things really clear for us, because we had several just options out there. And Lord just started to close doors. Or just our hearts weren't drawn to those things that we knew were opportunities for us. But one thing started to stand out. And about 36 hours ago, it became official. And so we're excited to be able to share with you that we are joining Inca Link, which was started and run by Rich and Lisa Brown, who you know because they come here and speak. Inca Link's whole vision is to reach the 300 million youth of Latin America with the love of Christ. And Rich and Lisa, who were dear friends with, the first time they ever spoke here at Westgate, I was missions pastor and invited them to come because we were such good friends from college. They are asking us to oversee the pastoral care and the member care of all their missionaries and staff in Latin America. And so we can live wherever we want, and so we can move closer to our kids. And we'll take, most of our meetings will just be online by Zoom with their missionaries that want to meet. And we'll take several trips a year to those 9 Latin American countries to spend time with their staff face-to-face in their homes. So we're really excited about it, excited to be able to share it with you guys. And they texted us this morning to say, man, we're so excited you get to share that with Westgate this morning. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Mm. It's so exciting to see the Lord bringing that all together. And I also wanted to tell you, I had shared with the Alliance, because we have served with Alliance Missions now for so long, and we love Alliance Missions. It will always be our heart. I had shared with them that I do want to continue on. Many of you know that I'm on the Alliance Member Care Professional Team as a psychologist providing care for our international workers who are all around the world. And I told them, no matter where we go from here, I would really love to continue serving in that capacity for the Alliance as well. So they have invited me to stay on in that role on the Member Care Professional Team and the Advisory Team for Member Care for the Alliance. Mm-hmm. And so I will continue to do that. And it really actually jives very well with this new ministry that we'll be doing with Inca Link as well. And so one of the other pieces just in this last week that's kind of coming together, it's not completely solidified yet, but we've also been invited to live on the campus of a respite center for people who are in ministry, pastors and missionaries, who can come there and receive care and counseling. And with us living on that campus, Steve can provide pastoral care and I can provide mental health care. And it's a lot like that center that I started in Kyiv, Ukraine, actually. And so the Lord's kind of just brought that about in my heart to grant me that desire to live in that kind of space and continue to do that kind of ministry. So, and that does take us closer down to...
Sure where it is.
It's in Tennessee, and it takes us down closer to our kids because our kids live in North Carolina and Georgia. So it's just such a beautiful thing to see how God has woven all of that together. And now that we know all of this, we understand that in this last year, all of those pieces couldn't have even come together until now. So what felt like silence from the Lord was actually, just wait, I'm working together a plan, and in due time, I will share that with you, but it's not the time yet. And so just like that last piece of this place in Tennessee just opened up in the last week. And so it's all very fresh, it's all very exciting, but we're so glad to be able to sit here too in front of you today to talk about it and share how God is leading the way.
That is amazing. Mm-hmm. And as I said in the first service, I just was so encouraged with Steve, how you shared and Cricket, your journey of prayer with the Lord, of seeking Him and waiting on Him for an answer. We so easily at times jump to our own experiences and our own best thoughts or the advice of our friends or family, even in pressure that come from kids, and yet to just wait on the Lord, but to see His faithfulness to give you the release that you needed to begin to pursue ministry here, but how He has woven all of that together is such an awesome blessing and such a lesson for us to continue to learn about how to wait on the Lord in prayer for what He has for us. And it's in the vein of that faithfulness that I would love, Steve, for you just to take a few minutes to share a short message with us about what God has been laying on your heart. So again, would you thank Steve and Cricket for sharing with us this morning?
Thank you. Thank you. I noticed it was missing. Thank you. Well, it was in May of 2000 that I stood on this stage and preached from Philippians chapter 3. in one of our final Sundays at Westgate. And I spoke about our upcoming move to Russia and all the unknowns that came with that. And in that message, I told the story of Jim Elliot and Nate Saint and the other three missionaries who were all killed by the Wadani Indians in Ecuador in 1956, about these men that had given their very lives that the name of Christ would be advanced in the places where he hadn't yet been preached, where the name of Jesus had never been spoken. We had been preparing to go overseas for the better part of a decade. This was literally 10 years after my soccer missions trip to Eastern Europe, 7 years after our marriage, and we were preparing that whole time. And as Crick mentioned in our interview, I think it was this service, we had had a difficult few years of ministry in a church in North Carolina, and we'd come out of that pretty banged up. But as always, God is good, and he brought us here, and he brought us the healing that we needed. And now, when I was standing up here preaching in May of 2000, we were ready to go. Or at least we thought we were ready to go. You know how it is when you imagine something new, something different that you're preparing for, something big, you're preparing to take it on, a project, a move, or whatever it is. And in our minds, especially the younger we are, in our minds, we often picture ourselves tackling the world. Whatever that new assignment is, man, this is going to be awesome. We're going to do great, all this kind of stuff. In our case, we were going to lead so many people to Christ in Russia. We're going to plant so many churches. We're going to learn the language and speak it like the nationals do. We're going to adapt to their culture and their ways without any problems. And this is how we often dream. I don't know about you. Maybe it's just I that dream that way. But that's how I often dream or dreamed. But it's not always reality, is it? We were able to lead people to Christ. We thank the Lord for that. We were able to lead people to Christ. We were able to play a big role in seeing Open Door Church in Moscow planted and leading that church for several years. And that church still exists today in Moscow. We were able to play a vital role in helping bring about the formation of the alliance as a denomination in Ukraine in the short time that we were able to be there before the war started. God gave us the ability to speak and understand the language well, but not like the nationals do. Not like Sergei and Lilia, who I was here with a few weeks ago that you heard speaking. It's actually very rare. Most people in our churches don't know this, I don't think, now, especially if you've grown up in the alliance around missions. It's actually very rare, really rare, that an international worker speaks like a national does. Because we go to the mission field as adults, and we're learning a new, difficult language as adults, not as little children who would pick it up quickly. We did adapt and learn the culture well, but not without frustrations and difficulties. There were many, many wonderful times in our years overseas, and many, many hard times in those years. Some that brought us almost to the point of wanting to quit, of throwing in the towel, of giving up. Have you ever felt that way? I'm sure most of you at some point have felt that way. But there were two things that wouldn't allow us to do that. Wouldn't allow us to quit and just leave. And the first was a clear call from God that he had placed on our lives to serve him overseas, which we just shared about. And the calls were so clear. We knew. We didn't just come here based on emotions or out of guilt or whatever. We knew it was God. And the second thing was the regular reminder from him that it's not about us. It's about him. It's about doing what he's asked us to do, where he's asked us to do it. It's about obedience. The Christian life is about obedience because Jesus is worth any sacrifice that we can give for him. Scripture was also a really important motivator and encourager in keeping us doing what we've been doing for these years. So I want to read several verses out of Philippians chapter 3. Actually, the same verses that I read in that sermon 24 years ago. And these are verses that always challenge me to give everything that I have for Jesus. And so if you have your Bible or the words will be on the screen, it's Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 14. Verse 7 to 14. And Paul writes, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." I want to talk for just another few minutes or so about two crucial life-impacting truths that I see in these verses. And the first is simply that Jesus is worth it. Nothing compares to him. The Apostle Paul, who had everything going for him and everything that he needed in life, wrote these words that we just read. He was highly educated, zealous for God, gaining respect among the Pharisees, going from city to city to drag off Christians to jail. His name was becoming known and feared. And then he met Jesus. How many of you were having successful, impactful lives before you met Jesus? And how did that change your life? Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians probably 20 to 25 years after his conversion. His life had been drastically transformed from what we see in Acts when he was persecuting the church to what we see as an older man. He knew that everything he had valued before was really just rubbish. Garbage, worthless when compared to Jesus. He came to realize that all he had given up was worth it because of all that he had gained. Have you reached that point in your life? If you have, if you've reached that point in your life, as Paul did in realizing that everything is just rubbish in comparison to Christ, what did it take for you to get there? What did you have to give up? What did you go through? How did God transform your life for you to get to that place? If you haven't gotten there yet, what will it take for you to take those steps for him to transform your life in the way that he did Paul? Although our lives and ministries differ greatly, obviously, from the Apostle Paul's, we've come to understand more and more over the years that everything we lost, or rather everything that we gave up by going overseas, it was worth it because Jesus is worth it. The frustration of trying to do ministry in a culture that doesn't understand or value what you're doing there, why you came, doesn't comprehend this Western religion that you're bringing with you, trying to learn one of the most difficult languages in the world and understand their culture instead of just bringing our Americanness with us. That's not what missions is. As well as the drama that you can imagine in a church when the average age is 20 years old. and they're college students, and they're away from home because they've traveled to Moscow from other parts of the country, and they found Christ. They're first-generation believers. They're not discipled. That stuff wore us down. There were so many discouraging days. Several times over the years, we were told to go back to America. We already have our own religion. We don't need yours. On one occasion, someone threatened to kill us. The hardest part, probably actually developing through the years for several people in our family, were the goodbyes. The mission field is, and the missionary life is a life of goodbyes. Lots of hellos, but the goodbyes are the painful ones. And the longer you're there, the older your parents get, the goodbyes get harder. Not knowing when we would see our aging parents again. Thankfully, both of my parents died when we were on home assignment in the States. The goodbyes to our kids were probably the most heart-wrenching. As each graduated from high school, left the house, went to America, and we stayed on the mission field. And then they started to get married and give birth to our grandkids, who we had to say goodbye to and leave as we returned to the field. So I'm just trying to be open and honest with you, because most missions conferences, you know, we're speaking about what God's doing in those places. We don't talk a lot about personal pains or hurts, because we want you to know how God's answering your prayers and people are coming to Christ and churches are being planted. But when you move to the other side of the world and you're there long term and you're raising kids there, especially the harder the place it is, there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of difficulty. There's a lot of loneliness, a lot of sadness. And yet we would do it all over again. Gladly and without hesitation, because we know that God was with us. He strengthened us when we needed it. He comforted us when we needed it. And he grew our faith in him, which we always needed. We would probably do some things different, change some things around. Hindsight's always 20/20. But the thing is, God doesn't promise any of us an easy road, right? I'm sure many of you here have or are today walking difficult roads. He just calls us to follow him and promises to be with us. Well, the second crucial life-changing truth that I see in these verses is that a life well lived includes a constant pursuit after Jesus. Paul admits in verse 12 that even decades after meeting Christ on the road to Damascus, after years and years as a missionary and pastor, establishing the church in so many different cities and countries and writing the letters that today make up almost half of the New Testament books, he admits that he still hasn't reached the goal that he's been striving for in fully knowing and being like Christ. But then he says, I'm going to continue to strive for it. He's going to continue to press on to win that prize that God has called him to. Folks, these verses right here are what the Christian life is all about. This is what it means to follow Jesus. Not just going to Sunday morning service two or three times a month, but to really follow Jesus. Each of our situations look different. God has placed each of us in different places, in different neighborhoods, in different schools and jobs and families for this exact reason, that we would strive hard after him. And one of the natural outcomes of a life lived like this is that people around you begin to get influenced by your life. The closer you're drawing to Jesus, people are going to see that. They're going to sense it, and God begins to work through you. You know, we didn't move to Russia and then to Ukraine and then eventually to Germany to further our own personal agenda. We didn't do it so that our names would become well-known in the missionary world or so that we'd be asked to preach in the biggest churches when we returned to the States. We did it to further the name of Christ in those places where we would live and among the people that we would have influence with. We wanted to know Christ and to be found in him and to become like him. That's what he's calling all of us to do. We went because he called us. And we know that following Jesus is worth it. Let's pray. Jesus, you really are worth it. Anything that we give to you is worth it. It's just anything that we have in life is really just rubbish, garbage. Any sacrifice that we can give for you is not really a sacrifice. But it's because compared to you, nothing else is really worth it. You do love to shower us and bless us with good things in life. Lord, I pray that we will have the wisdom and discernment to know how many of those things actually are distractions for our walk with you. And how many are just okay. Because even good things turn into idols. Lord, I pray that you'll just help us to understand that and know that. I thank you for the long history of this church. I thank you that this church still today continues to be one that prepares and disciples and sends out people. And takes such initiative in keeping that relationship and in sharing Jesus with people in this community and participating in it around the world. Lord, I pray for every person in this room that you would just draw them closer to you today. Lord, every person in this room, we probably have the whole gamut here of people who have been following you closely for 50 years and some who might not even have a relationship with you yet or might be only 6 months in the faith. But you're a God that meets us exactly where we are, and then you just encourage us and nudge us forward, deepening our faith and our trust in you and wanting to do that so that we draw closer to you and become more like Jesus, and so that we have influence on those people around us that we rub shoulders with on a daily basis. Lord, I thank you for this church. What an amazing blessing they've been to us for 26 years since we first arrived here. We look forward to continued relationship with them. Bless them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Through the deepest valley, he will lead.
Service this morning, I'm going to invite Steve and Christy to come on back up here with me, and any staff and elders that are here as well. We want to take a time just to pray over them as a church family. 24 years ago, sending them out, and such a pleasure to come full circle and to be able to be a part of seeing God move you into this new season of life and ministry and all the plans that he has for you. And so, church family, as we pray, I'm going to invite you also just to reach out your hands. We're going to be laying hands and praying over them. Reach out your hands if you are comfortable. Pray with us for God's richest blessing over them and this new journey with him in ministry. Let's pray together. Glory to you, Lord, and glory to you alone. Father, we give you thanks. We thank you, God, most importantly, for the way in which you have loved us so much that you sent your son Jesus into this world to radically alter and change the courses of each of our lives. And Father, I'm constantly overwhelmed by the fact that not only do you save us, but you invite us, Father, into your kingdom work to be a part of what you are doing to bring the good news of your son to people all around this world. Father, I thank you for Steve and for Cricket, and I thank you, God, for just the ministry that you have given them over these past 24 years. I thank you, Father, for the role that you have allowed Westgate Chapel to play in their lives, to be a place of healing, to be a place of preparation, to be a church that would send and continue to partner. Father, I thank you for the giftedness that you have given to Steve and Cricket, and Father, the passions that you've given them and that they have so faithfully used. And Lord, as we celebrate their ministry, what we recognize this morning really, God, is that we are celebrating and worshiping you for the things that you have done and continue to do. And Father, we thank you for the many lives that have been impacted in their ministry over many years. For those that have come to faith in Jesus because of their faithfulness to go to Russia, to go to Ukraine, to go to Germany. And Father, we pray that you would continue to take all of the seeds that were planted and that have grown, and that you would continue to multiply them. That Father, through the power of your Son and your Holy Spirit, that in those two countries where there is so much turmoil, where there is so much opposition even to the gospel, Lord, we pray that it would flourish, and that, Lord, your people would raise up with boldness to continue to share of the good news of Jesus Christ, the only one who can save. And Father, we pray over Steve and Cricket as they move into this new season of ministry. We thank you, God, for your faithfulness in directing them. How you have directed them from the time that they were young and their call to missions and the field that you directed them to, and even now in these last weeks, as you have made so clear the role that they're to have serving with Inkalink and caring well for missionaries and others. God, I just pray that you would bring about in them through your Holy Spirit all of the giftedness that they will need for the work that you have called them to. I pray, God, that you would, through them, strengthen the workers that are out on the field, that, Lord, their ministry would continue to bear incredible fruit. And Lord, we pray your special blessing over them. And so we thank you, God, for these years of partnership together, and we know that they will continue, but we ask your blessing on this new season, and we love you, God. Thank you for loving us and for being so faithful in our lives. We pray this together in the matchless name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We love you guys very much. Would you again thank Steve and Craig for coming in and sharing with us today? As we close our service this morning, just a couple of things for you. Number one, as a reminder, our prayer team will be here at the front as we close. If you have any prayer needs today, things that are heavy on your heart, they would love that opportunity to pray with you. So please feel free to come forward at the close of our service. Secondly, as we have been talking about the last couple of weeks, we would like to have a love offering this morning for Steve and Christy, just to really provide for them as they make this transition ministry. They'll be continuing to raise support in the new role that they will have. And so if you would like to bless them and participate in this offering, we will have ushers at the back doors with buckets. If you would like to give that way, you see the QR code that is on the screen. That is also another way that you can give if you are smartphone savvy. And also we will have cards at their table that will also have that QR code. But church family, there's one thing I know about you. You are a generous church. Would you bless them incredibly today as they make this transition to help provide for the needs that they will have in the days and months to come. And also, Steve and Christy will be out at the table in the atrium. Would love the opportunity to connect with you. Would you go encourage them and bless them and thank them for their years of service? With that being said, as we go out, let's be reminded of not only God's faithfulness to us, but the call for us now to be faithful to him. Be faithful with the opportunities he gives you this week to share of his goodness with those that he places in your life. God bless you. Look forward to worshiping with you next Sunday.